Hi, this is Emily Vinos, and you're listening to Everyone Needs a Spotter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Everyone Needs a Spotter, the multifamily fitness podcast brought to you by the expert team here at RMS Fitness. I am Steve Heitzer, happy to be back after a brief 1 week break from recording to be back here with the team. Everybody's here today in full attendance. Everybody gets a good mark today. We're going to start today with our introduction. Stephen D to my right. Que paso contigo, amigo?
What's going on, man? It's good to be here. One week break, but I feel like we need another break. We'll talk about it. It's been a busy couple days.
Get a break from my break. Man, let me tell you. Lil Wipey, MEV. That's a new one. How you doing?
Good. Didn't you used to call me E. Viney?
E. Viney. There's been several iterations of this. There's been several iterations of Little Wipey's nicknames around here.
It's been a good week because it's been a warm week, and that is just been really fun.
The weather.
Get out of the office and enjoy some of the warm weather.
Yeah, it's funny. People be talking about that seasonal depression stuff like it's fake until, you know, it gets to be like 60 degrees outside and you feel like you've never lived before this day.
I know it's not fake.
So I agree with you. The weather turning has been amazing. Robert, fearless leader, the man in orange-ish.
Coral.
Thank
Coral.
You, Emily. It's, again, busy for me is good, but it has been more than usual busy. But you'll share the highlights of that because we have been in a plane, off a plane, and off the work.
Indeed. So, Robert, you kind of spoiled it. No, but, you know, the team and I, Robert, Steven, and myself, had the pleasure of jumping on a quick plane last Thursday, taking a brief 5-hour and 45-minute flight on over to Los Angeles, California. First time on the West Coast for me out there in California.
Ditto. Same here.
So I got to go out and very, very briefly see what Los Angeles was all about. So we were only there for, what, about 36 hours?
It felt like it, and we walked one street, literally, and then back.
Yeah, we flew right out Thursday morning, flew, landed, drove directly to the convention center, did our thing at the day one of the Ursa trade show where we were there meeting with all the different vendors to see about new equipment, new products, new partners, new solutions, all the goodies that are coming down the pipe that people are going to be asking me about in a few weeks. So the best chance to go out and kind of see that stuff with your own eyes before it shows up in somebody's gym that you're there to, you know, to help service. It was a really good trip. We had the second day on Friday and then right back on the plane, right back to Baltimore. And then we got delayed. What time did you get back, Steven?
Man, that's a time warp. I felt like the plane landed at 2? 2:30? Yeah, 2:30 in the morning. It was all a blip. Yeah. It was all a blip.
It was a crazy trip. But you know what? It's hard whenever you want to go do something like that. You don't want to spend too much time away from the helm or the family or whatever you got going on. So you wanted to go and see what there was to see, but get back quick. And it was a fun trip, but I know a couple of us got nicked up. We got a little couple little respiratory viruses we brought back from California with us, and we're working our way through that. You know, airplane flying. You always get sick on planes, don't you, Robert?
No, Steve, I don't get sick on planes. Others around me get sick on the plane, but I have issues with hearing afterwards. For whatever reason, that pressure gets in the old ear canals. And then I have to ask everyone to raise their voice for about a week.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, definitely it was a fun trip, but I think we're all still playing a little catch up because of how we kind of just added it to our schedule and squeezed it right in there and kept it moving. But absolutely, we're back from that trip. We've learned some new things. We've kind of been out and we've reassured some of our existing relationships. We've met some new people and done some things and educated ourselves about what's coming down the pipe. And we're really excited about that information. Robert?
Yeah, I'm not sure how fast. I know you talk very quickly from time to time, but to slow you down a little bit.
Thank you.
The highlight would be obviously some of our partners we met, mm-hmm. right? I thought True did a nice job. Interesting, Marshall. Shout out to Marshall. Hey, Marshall. Hey, Rob.
What's up, Marshall?
He explained the changes in the product. You know, we knew about the color changes, but I thought the console changes were nice. I feel like they've been listening to us. In the sense of where we put our energy in the multifamily home, the consoles are going to really make a nice fit for that. Between the 10-inch and the 16-inch, Should be a nice array of equipment to choose from. And then, of course, just having the opportunity to see Jimmy at Torque. Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Again, it's hard to explain Torque fitness equipment unless you're there and you're with a guy like Lucas or Jimmy who can just point out all the various features that come with a rack. Like it was the, which version was the rack? Was it the 2?
We were looking at the TR2.
Yeah, the TR2.
So just looking at that rack and seeing all the added accessories, the thought process behind the lower ceilings. I know I've got some clients who have been itching to get something different in the facility, but ceiling height is an issue. It was a nice fit, so that was good. And then, of course, Adam at Echelon. Hey, Adam.
What do I call him? What I called him the other day, No Baloney Maloney is what I called him on the phone.
That's funny.
So Adam was nice enough to take us through a wide array of additional equipment.
It was unbelievable, right? The amount of equipment. I was taken back, man.
So, but again, a good partnership. They're explaining where they're going, which helps us understand where we're going to focus over the next year, how we can bring these new products to our clients, what that means for them, especially in the multi-housing, equipment. That has a little bit of excitement, but bringing in equipment that's going to bring in residents, well, that's a whole different thing. And that's where a lot of this interactive, up-to-date, technology-driven equipment that's going to really shine for a lot of our clients.
No, I think that was a really, really nice summary of what we saw there. Steven?
Shout out to Bodycraft, too. Good to see Rob as well.
Hey, Rob.
Nice to see their product line out there. Looking good with the colors, the black and the blue, and seeing some new stuff coming out. I enjoyed seeing a lot of rubbing shoulders with some of our dealers, our providers, and seeing some new stuff out there, too. It's pretty cool. I enjoyed it.
Checking out the ops, getting to see the ops out there in the field is always a pleasure. Getting to see obviously anytime you're in a business, you have competitors, and it's always fun to be in the same space as the people that talk to your customers and that you guys are, friendly competition over business, obviously, right? It's always nice to be in the same space as those people, like-minded individuals, people that are into the same, business endeavors and things that we are. So those shows are always nice for a lot of reasons. Obviously, Robert, getting to catch up with the big three, Torque, True, and Echelon. Those are our core partners that we lead with, and, we appreciate all of them so much. To your point about Torque, they got the kind of space where if going to see a booth put together by them is like the best way to get an understanding of their product, because it's so modular and so customizable that it's just like basically a Lego set. You get all these pieces and you can build it one way, but with that same set, you could create a million different things too, and make it a million different ways. So going and being able to see that firsthand and see how the things come together, what pieces work together and what pieces don't, really helps you then when you come back and you're in the war room with a customer trying to make the best picks and solutions for them, knowing all those little tricks and solutions. That's where those partnerships are really invaluable. So we appreciate all of them. Robert, you mentioned True as well, improving all the product lines. It's a huge deal, improving not just the performance of them, but the physical appearance of them so that they're modern and appealing and trendy, updating the console so that they feature the current things that people need on the equipment, and less of the things that they don't. That's all really important stuff, and we're very grateful to have partners that are moving in that direction and not being complacent about what they've got. So shout out to everybody, because what can be said about nobody at IRSA was that they didn't have something awesome and new to show people. Mm-hmm. Everybody came with guns a-blazing this year. It was crazy over there, so enjoyed that a lot. But Emily, did you guys do anything fun this week, you and your team? Anything unusual that you would like to tell us about before we get into our topic du jour?
No.
No. Okay. No. I think you guys had your follow-up second safety visit at a customer, right? That's a new thing that we're kind of still launching as a concept, right? That's right. Product knowledge and safety training and things.
Yeah, that was nice. Emily led the charge in that. She got up there. And surprisingly, in facilities, and anyone listening, the thing about your facility is that you may have cameras in the facility and you see who comes in the morning, who comes in the evening. But I was actually very interested when folks began to say, it's the first time I've been in my fitness room because I'm not familiar with the equipment.
We did. So in that particular case, we did five classes over 2 days, and we had about 10 people a class, and it wasn't really until the last class where you had the most people that said that they actually came into their gym.
That's right. And so just the education on things and explaining to people what how to use the equipment and just seeing them become more familiar with it. And, of course, it was some good laughs as well because, you know, the group we were with was a little older, but they were real troopers about it. And I think that class will stimulate a lot of them to go.
But I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you, you know, from having been there and seen the people that showed up, do you feel like a large percentage of them or a meaningful percentage of them were people that wouldn't use the gym prior without having had that education?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and what I think, too, it was beneficial for, because I know people in the class were people that are on the board that make decisions. So without being walked through, you walk in the room, there's plenty of equipment, and then you break it down on what is easy to use and what's really actually not easy to use, and the recommendations that Robert would make specifically with the strength equipment. You know, it's 90s strength equipment, so they're like, you know, dual purposes, that it was more enlightening for people to realize, oh, well, should we even have this in the room? So a board member who doesn't necessarily exercise is now educated in seeing that, okay, well, half this equipment he's advising is really not easy to use or effective or safe for people in this community, specific to this community.
Man, that's a huge benefit. Because those boards, you know, they're so impactful with properties that where there's a board or a committee involved, like, they can be such a factor in the final decision that gets made in the gym that having a chance to educate somebody like that about things is huge. And then, I mean, I don't want to overemphasize this, but, I mean, the fact that you guys feel like you drew people into the space that otherwise might not use it, I mean, like, it's changing lives. I mean, these are older people, to your point, that maybe aren't active enough, aren't doing enough, are sedentary. By adopting any kind of physical, you know, wellness routine into their lifestyle, they could really be improving the quality and the duration of their life too. So, I mean, that's a really nice service to be able to offer to a resident at your community that maybe is intimidated by the space. But I saw your
your hand, Robert. One last point about that, if I could, and maybe I should just let it to rest because we haven't mentioned the property's name, right?
No.
Okay, good. Because I don't want to embarrass anyone.
Right.
But there's a leg press there, and there's a long history behind the leg press. But it was purchased based on the cost. So I get in the class, and I'm, like, looking at the different types of people that are there. Now, again, these people are going to the gym to you mentioned, just better lifestyle, get fit, get in this a routine of exercise. But they're not by any means going beyond that level. They just want to be healthy. But there's a leg press in there that they purchase based on a price. And those of us who sell equipment know there's a clear difference between when you sell a leg press that the seat moves as opposed to the plate that you're pressing your feet on.
Mm-hmm.
The benefit of the seat moving is you have more adjustment and the person can use their body weight to move the seat back and forth. Well, in this facility, it was the plate that was moving, which meant, first of all, you have to be very flexible to get in there, and then your initial push is very difficult on your lower back. And so I found that it seemed to me that when they replaced that piece of equipment, they only consulted two or three people, and they didn't know what they were purchasing. They were purchasing a number and not what was going to benefit the facility. So as I went through the class, I found other pieces of equipment. The property is well aware that the equipment they have in the facility is not something that is fulfilling the needs of their residents. I'll see where that conversation goes. But last point, I thought that last one was, but this is the last point, is anyone who's considering a refresh that is going to think about replacing multiple pieces. I learned something from this class where if you invite people to come down to try to use your already existing equipment before you replace it, you might find it beneficial to know what pieces are actually being used.
Mm.
Just a side point there. But I felt that was interesting. Hey, why don't we get everyone into the room, see who exactly uses it through this class, and then decide which pieces should stay and which pieces should go.
Man, look, despite what I normally say about you, dude, you're a pretty smart guy.
I thought this was really cool. Several people came up and was just like, thank you so much. I learned a lot more than I thought, you know. And then someone that had never used the gym before, it was our last class before we were heading out to grab some lunch. This gentleman felt so confident now being taught how to use everything that he did his first workout while we went to lunch.
Yeah. He had lived there for 8 years.
That's so cool. Right? I mean, like, I'm not even just saying this because we're recording this episode, guys. Like, the fact that y'all were able to activate people, senior people, to be active. I mean, that's somebody's great aunt. That's somebody's grandma. That's somebody's mom, dad, grandfather, great uncle, whatever. And the fact that they could be doing something that's going to actually potentially physically extend their life and the quality of their life, that's really meaningful. And I think you all should be really proud about getting people to invest in that. And the fact that the property should be proud too. Like, they should understand what they're really offering. Mm-hmm. It's not just, well, people are going to know how to use it. You could be taking somebody who's not confident enough to begin and giving them that confidence. Mm-hmm. And that's more than just something nice to do. That's meaningful. So
it was
awesome.
That's
really cool. You know, I don't want to beat that horse too much, but I think that's a really cool concept and probably something we could do more if people would understand what it is that they're really providing. So I think that's pretty cool. You know what else is cool, guys? We're 17 minutes into the episode and we haven't even addressed the concept that we intended to discuss
today. It's crazy
how... but you know what? It's spring. Things are really busy. The equipment is showing up here frequently. The warehouse is full. There's lots going on. It's install time of year, right? There's lots of new equipment coming in. People are ready to get their installs taken care of. Robert, Steven, Emily, whichever one of you wants to dive in here, along with oftentimes replacing equipment and updating the gym's options for workout, what also sometimes comes along with that? What do these properties usually sometimes take on, especially if they're going to replace all the equipment? What do they also like to usually do in that process? Steven, the Don Juan Donadio?
So usually when they get that involved, they're going to get like a foreman or a construction company involved because they're probably going to do flooring. They're probably going to do some remodeling and sprucing up the place. So it's 9 times out of 10, it's not just the cardio equipment or the strength equipment. It's everything, all of it together to give it a fresh look.
So along with that renovation, which is basically what Steven mentioned, you know, the fact that in addition to replacing the equipment, a lot of times that's the time that a property wants to undertake sanding, painting, changing their lights, raising their drop ceiling and making it a drywall ceiling, changing the water fountain, updating the bathrooms, adding lockers, whatever it might be. That's usually the time when they're making that big investment that they also want to renovate into the space. And we just thought it was really important to discuss along with some of those renovations. I know, Robert, this was a pet child of yours on this episode that you wanted to discuss, you know, as far as just not rushing that install process. There does seem to be a certain urgency to just get the equipment out there. And there seems to be a number of reasons for that. What have you experienced recently that made you feel like this was a valid, you know, conversation to bring up? Has it been a one-off? Has it been a multitude of minor grievances? What have you experienced?
Well, to Steven's point, when there is a third party who has been hired to perform this task, generally they have a timeline. And in their mind, this is how the timeline should lay out. But what happens is that in construction, nothing is perfect. And what I think we want to kind of derive from in this episode is the time period where the fitness equipment should go in. And when it goes in, it will then make the most sense, and it'll be the kind of the pinnacle to the room renovation. Like, now that this is in, this is how it's going to go. So you had a very large project at a student housing in Baltimore, and I went in and I walked the property, and Steve tends to put all bad news on my plate so that I can show it to the customer. Steve doesn't like to give bad news to customers.
We do the good cop, bad cop thing, Robert. It's our jam.
So I go into this facility, which was multiple floors, and they were not complete. Now, could we put the equipment in the facility? Absolutely. But my thought process of not putting it in is, you mentioned it earlier, is all the finishes that have to take place, the sanding, the painting. There's so many issues when you're bringing in equipment. Now, we've kind of told everyone what dust does to treadmills. And if you amplify it with sanding, whether it's in the room that it's happening in or two rooms down from there, if that process is not complete, you run a high risk of adding this dirt, this debris to the brand new equipment. And yes, you could probably get it cleaned, but you don't see what it's already done to the underside of like a walking belt. Now, I explained that when we went on that project, and I thought my explanation was clear and succinct. And fortunately, they did agree with my decision. And the product went in. We had beautiful pictures. Yeah. It was, again, it was the time to put the equipment in. Recently, Emily and I and Logan got a chance to go down to Columbia for a new clubhouse for a family. It was a new
single family home community.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
With a clubhouse.
Yes. So I went in, and we get there, and they're not ready. Mm-mm. They're not ready. But they weren't that far away, so they cleaned up and got it done. And then I get in, and I'm like, huh. I see outlets on the walls higher than normal. It would indicate to me that they're putting a TV here. That was not part of the plan. So, and I don't want to steal all the thunder.
No, this is great.
But with this room, prior to installation, now I'm communicating with the clients. I'm the person who runs the company for this construction company is not available. So he's connecting me with his GC. And he's handling all of the decision-making. He calls me in because, quite frankly, he's from the old school. Hey, it's just furniture, right? It's tables, chairs. Get them in there as quickly as possible. All we got to do is clean up once they're done. So I get out there, and I see this, and I had a decision to make, either install the equipment or come back another day. Fortunately, there was no sanding or cleaning of that. But they were going to have to get the TVs mounted on the wall.
Yep.
And according to the original plans, that's where a piece of equipment was going.
Yep.
So maybe what would have been best, and maybe we were going to say this, is to have a discussion about the room. So where you or me or Steven or whoever the consultant was could go out, see the room, either by picture or by going on site. Okay, this is ready. Because then I would have said, oh, I notice you're putting TVs here. Oh, you put mirrors over here. Oh, there's a door here now. So those are all the things that we're moving that were not in there. And just to add to this, it's been months. So the original layout was something that the customer gave to me through a third party. And that third party just kind of sketched it together. So many revisions have taken place. And guess who wasn't informed? Me. And so because I wasn't informed, I go out and go, I mean, these are nice additions, but this changes where I'm going to put the equipment.
Yep.
All right. So that's enough for me.
No, you know, I wasn't going to cut you off because you were going through a lot of the core concerns that happen. And I think I've reasonably identified the cause of the problem. I think that generally this is just comes down to best intentions. Like, all of these project managers, whether it's the property manager who's managing the project for their owners, or whether it's, in my case, a lot of times it's new construction or development, these people who are the point person for these projects, as the project nears completion, there's a lot of pressure on them to show progress toward completion.
Sure.
And sometimes they're up against things that aren't in their control. They get... I've recently wrapped up a project in Chevy Chase, and they were getting popped on the fact that their railing wasn't on every balcony was like an eighth of an inch too low. I mean, we're talking microscopic amounts of
Steve. Height. You got to define popped. You said popped.
Oh, they got popped, as in they got in trouble on the final inspections.
Okay, that helps.
Because their railings were just like a scotch too low, right? Now, those are things that are massive, seem small, but massive issues on a project with 300 units or whatever it might be, and they've all got a balcony and a railing. That's a huge issue to resolve. So the pressure becomes high to show that they're still moving toward completion. This is my estimation of what I think happens out there. So when people are talking to the fitness guys and we're like, hey, we got the equipment. We're here. We're ready. Just let me know. Like, it seems very natural to say, well, let's just bring that out. It's one thing to cross off the list. We'll be one step closer to the spaces being finished. But there's so many issues that can come along with rushing the fitness delivery in particular. Some of the recent things that I've encountered that I thought were like no-brainers, but I've had people ask me to come out before the outlets were hot, you know, turned on. The power was activated to the outlets. Well, if we can't come out and we can't plug the equipment in and we can't turn it on, it's difficult for us to guarantee that the equipment is properly calibrated, set up, mm-hmm. balanced, leveled, ready for use. So you're not really achieving your end result. And then a lot of times what comes behind that is now the equipment's in the room and maybe they do get in trouble for something on a final inspection and they have to resand or repaint or adjust something in the ceiling or change something. Well, now a lot of times they're required to cover the equipment. You know, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to put plastic over the equipment to protect it from whatever might need to go on in the room. And all of these things can be fine. If you have a company that puts a lot of effort and care into wrapping and protecting the equipment, it might not be a big deal. But anytime you take that chance that you're now, you know, exposing what you've spent a significant amount of money to any type of risk that you could have avoided, it just brings into question, why did we rush this install? Why didn't we just take an extra week? Would it really have changed the outcome so greatly? So I think that's really what we're trying to help people to understand is that the fitness center should be a situation where when we make that delivery, Robert, you mentioned it, it should be like the cherry on the sundae of that gym. Your finishes should be done. Your room should be done. Your electric should be turned on. Your data should be running fast and resolved so that when we get in there, well, we're just coming in and putting the finishing touches on the space. And when we leave, you should be able to start showing people that space and touring that space, and it should be good. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't always go that way. You know, we've encountered a lot of things, right? So, you know, recently I was down at a new construction in D.C. The actual gym itself was kind of ready to go. The room was done. The paint appeared to be done. The floor was put in. Everything was kind of locked off and closed off. The project manager said, nobody can come in here except for me because the room's, like, considered to be done. We've got it locked off. But he wanted me to come out. And then when I went to look at the install route, that's when it got a little dicey. You know, there was an access road behind the building that we would have had to use. And he was basically telling me, like, yeah, you know, you can schedule for Wednesday because we're supposed to be done fixing the sidewalk by Tuesday. So I looked at the calendar, saw that there was weather, 3 days of rain over the weekend, called him up and I said, can you guys do that in the rain? And he said, no, we're not going to get that done in the rain. So I had to let the project manager, who had no idea that that was a concern, they just knew the gym was ready and they wanted me to bring the equipment. Well, only because I happened to speak to the superintendent of the job who was managing some of the remaining work did I uncover this feature. So if I had sent installers out there, they would have been trying to carry equipment across some 3-foot gully, deep gully in the back that had no finished concrete. And when you're carrying a 300 or 400 pound treadmill, that's a risk or a liability, not just to the equipment, but to the people carrying it. So that's a huge deal. But Stephen?
Yeah, and kind of, you know, going to your point of, as far as like rushing some things, a lot of times we see it with either a remodel or a new build as well. When they put flooring down, sometimes if it's a glue down floor, a rubber floor that they glue down, like you said, they'll try to schedule like the next day to have us come out and install the equipment. Well, a lot of the properties out there don't realize that you have to let that floor cure. You can't just put your weight on it the next day and expect the floor to, you know, to be adhered properly with the glue and the cement. And so, you know, sometimes if they rush it, 6 months down the road, those seams are going to start lifting up on the rubber flooring, you know, whatever flooring they tend to use. because, you know, you, like you said, a treadmill is like 400 pounds. You got all this strength equipment coming in. It's not like it's going to float right on top of the spot where we're going to put it. You know, it's got to be rolled
to where it needs to go. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the nature of the beast. And so, you know, when property managers or project managers, what have you, try to get us to do it immediately after an install, sometimes they try to get us to come out there the day, like, okay, the contractors will be done by 10 a.m. Can you install the equipment after that? And it's like, no, let's think about this and then give them the reasons why. And then they understand.
Yeah. And trying to plan for that perfect world scenario is.
Yeah. And so,
recipe for disaster.
We understand they want to look good. You know, they want to get things done fast, but there's reasons behind waiting on certain things because ultimately in the end, it'll be a smoother transition.
Absolutely. Emily, I think you were on the install that we did. I won't say where it was, obviously, but up the road here where the team had to carry the equipment. It was like over the little orange construction net.
Oh, yeah.
Now, not only did I catch an eternal amount of heat from my alleged friends here at RMS Fitness about this difficult circumstance that they ended up in, because we did, that install did get rushed. You know, they asked us to come out. We had the equipment. I was very excited to complete a project of that caliber. So I was like, let's get it done. The team goes out. They're dealing with now trying to carry equipment over construction fences, no finished sidewalks. They did it. You know, the RMS team is not shy. They will get stuff done. They will get projects complete. The job was done. But then after all that effort to get it done under less than ideal circumstances, the very next week, I got an email from the property saying that they weren't supposed to have put the equipment in at all and that they were in violation of a fire code. They didn't have their permits and needed all the equipment to come back out.
Oh.
Now, we couldn't get there very quickly because of, you know, volume and things like that. So they had to hire a moving company to come and take all the equipment back out and store it in an off-site storage unit outside of the building.
Oh my gosh.
And then that same company moved it back into the room. And then I went out and gave it all a kind of a cursory walkthrough. I looked at it all, gave it a QC, checked it all out, made sure it was good to go after the movers put it back. But they incurred so much additional cost on that project because of rushing that installation. You know, we learn things at every one of these projects along the way. We always do what do you always call it, Robert? Things learned, lessons learned? What do you call it?
Yeah, definitely lessons learned.
Lesson learned. We look back at the end of these projects, and we always look for something that we could have done better. We always look for an area that we could have tightened it up a little bit, sharpened the edge, done whatever to make it a little better. And that was one where we just realized we didn't ask enough questions, and we've learned to ask questions and tell people no. And sometimes that's just what you got to do. Because the customer, the client, there's a lot of pressure on them to deliver. And if you don't let them know that what they're asking you to do could not really be in their interest, then, and you go ahead with that, then you're just setting them up for failure. And they don't know all of these hurdles. They don't know all of these potential pitfalls. And it's incumbent upon us to not let them walk into those situations. So we've learned that along the way. Mm-hmm. And we've improved in that way. And that's why we have this episode where we want to sit down and we want to talk to people about these concerns. Like, yes, completing a project is super satisfying and your owners are probably really on you about it and want you to get that done. But they want you to get the project done right. They want you to get it done on budget. They want you to get it done to spec so that it achieves the goals intended, not something else. So I thought that was a really, really nice subject, you know, because it's come up in a lot of different ways. We've had rooms that still had to get painting done. We've had rooms that still... We delivered a project down in the Virginia area one time. We showed up and they had plastic all over the floor still. Like the floor itself was just covered in plastic. So our guys just cut out little squares in the plastic and put the equipment right where it was supposed to go and left the plastic there. But we didn't leave that room feeling like it looked the way we want it to look when we leave a gym. And we ended up having to come back and tighten it all up again. So... I don't think that was a really, really important subject. It's not necessarily something that we have to like go on and on and on about, but I think for these development professionals or construction project managers that we deal with on the multifamily side, property managers who are managing these multifaceted projects, it's really important to ask a lot of questions to your contractors And don't always assume you're getting the straight answer. Don't always assume that a lot of, they want to give you the best case answer too. Nobody wants to disappoint anybody. So, Robert?
And I don't want to assume that everyone knows this, because I know a colleague who does the large gym installs. He works for a large multi-chain gym, and they have multiple day installs. But in our case, our installs are done within the same business day. So our crews, our teams go out with the intention of finishing the install within a day. Very rarely is it multiple day. So going back to what you said earlier, if they knew that well, after we finish the install, we clean the room, we wipe the equipment down. When we leave that room, the intentions are that room's ready to use. That's how far along we want it to be, that once we leave, this is perfect scenario. Once we leave, resident, whomever that has permission to use the equipment can use it 5 minutes after we leave from the install.
Yeah. So anything less than that, we would consider to be like a not complete install.
Right.
We got to come back, get your internet right. If we got to come back, plug the treadmills in and make sure they zip, 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 zap, zap the way they're supposed to, you know, all those things. Well, then we don't leave the first time feeling like we achieved the end goal. And frankly, you know, you all shouldn't either. You know, the space isn't ready. It's not complete. And there could be underlying issues. It's not common, right? But until you plug a treadmill in and you turn it on and you press go and the belt moves and you incline it and you decline it and you hit the emergency stop and you test all the features, you don't know for sure that unit's ready to go. So if we rush the install and we can't do those things, and then 2 weeks later we come back because the power's ready, well, now your residents are ready to go, and we're 2 weeks behind. We could have identified an issue and been ready to solve it. So, you know, I just thought it was a nice subject. You know, this time of year, as installs are coming along, it is like, I don't know if you all are experiencing it on my side, but people are like, can you come yesterday? Can you come tomorrow? I know it's Saturday, but you and your wife and kids want to come and deliver the equipment? Like, we could take it right now. And you know, and I'm sure a lot of people are ready for the equipment, but I'm sure a lot of them aren't. You know, I'm sure a lot of them think they're ready and haven't quite dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. So if you're somebody that is taking on these roles at a project, understand that nobody here at RMS Fitness wants anything other than an absolutely perfect install of your fitness space. That's the only thing that we consider to be a job well done, is when everything is the way that it was supposed to be based on the conversations that we had and the agreements that we signed with you. And we want to make it that way. We just need a little help from you all, you know, paving the way, clearing the runway, so that when air traffic control, going back to our flight analogies earlier, tells us we're clear for takeoff, we're not, you know, dealing with issues we didn't know were there. So that's, I thought was a really cool subject to talk about, not something that needs to go on forever.
True statement.
I agree.
But the valid all the same, you know, trust your partner, trust your vendor, trust the person that you've engaged with to deliver this equipment to you, that we're not going to steer you wrong. And if we're asking you for another week, it's probably not because we're not ready. It's probably because we want to make sure you're ready. So anybody else have any closing points on that? Comments, concerns?
Trust the process.
Trust the process. Robert?
No, well said, Steve.
Awesome, great. Big plans this weekend?
He's looking at you, Emily.
I'm looking at Emily. She's been quiet. A little quiet.
No, not really. Just
thought you were going to the movies this weekend.
I am going to go to the movies on Sunday with you guys.
Oh, nice!
Panda 3, right? What's it called?
Kung Fu Panda 3?
Oh, is that That's coming it. Out this weekend?
Yeah. Oh. I didn't even know.
They're one of the best. They're really one of the best.
I didn't even know they came out with another one.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I feel like it's the fourth one.
It's like the eighth one.
I don't know. I'm going to see a Kung Fu Panda.
It's like Fast and the Furious at this point. We don't even know what the story's about. They're flying panda cars in space. It's a whole thing. It's a lot going on.
He'll definitely be eating a dumpling.
Just enjoying any kind of still good weather if there is, and that's it.
Yep.
Speaking of Kung Fu Panda, what's up with red pandas? Why are they so much smaller than the big pandas? You ever seen them?
It's a different
stay tuned.
Yeah. Stay tuned for the next episode.
Tune in next week for why are red pandas so much smaller than white pandas. Steven, what you have to do this week, my man?
Just relaxing. I need to chill and recover for the coming week.
Steven's been willing whatever this respiratory virus that we're all dealing with. He's just been willing it out of his body, and I think he's crash coursing with the end of the work week here, and his body's going to have its way here shortly.
I'm not sick. I'm just getting stronger. That's all.
Just getting stronger. Robert, besides Kung Fu Panda Emily, what are you doing this weekend?
Lots of family time.
Lots of family time.
Last week we got back. I was no good the rest of the weekend over that jet lag. So this weekend, fresh start, spend some time with the family.
I feel that, bro. I have been at work or in bed since last Wednesday, so I am very much ready to spend some quality time with my people this weekend. I've had lots of cool things, man. Proud of my people. My kids are doing good. Lots of awesome things going on in my personal life, so I'm looking forward to seeing what we can get into this weekend. But that's about all I had. So, from the friendly team here at RMS Fitness, it is always a pleasure to be here. This is Everyone Needs a Spotter, the Multifamily Fitness Podcast. If you have found this episode or any other to be informative, educational, or entertaining, please share this with anyone else in the property management industry that you think could benefit. Share it with your site teams. And if you have a subject that you'd like to hear us discuss, please shoot us an email at podcast@rmsfitness.com. And as always, leave us a 5-star review, nothing less. Steven?
Afuera!
Emily? Lil Wipey?
See you later.
Robert D., Fearless Leader?
Have a great weekend.
I am Steve Heitzer. Have a great weekend. This has been Everyone Needs a Spotter, and we'll see you next time.